Good morning, and welcome to the Ray of Hope Christian Church prayer call. I am Reverend Leah Jackson, and I am delighted to lead you in this time of prayer. I'm going to ask you a few questions. Where is your life pointing? Are you a directional sign, pointing and leading others to Jesus? Is your life a reflection of the gospel? Do you make following Jesus look attractive to unbelievers? Our text taps us on the shoulder today with these questions. Our answer, my brother and sister, to each of them should be yes. As we read through the Bible using the devotional Meet the Bible as our guide, we find ourselves on day 334 in the book of Titus, chapters 2 and 3. Here we read a letter from Paul bound up in a Roman prison, written to Titus, who is leading several churches on the Greek Isles in Crete. In chapter 1, Paul told Titus how to organize those churches. In these chapters, he gives him instruction on what and how to teach the women, seasoned and young, the men, seasoned and young. The idea is that Titus will adapt those instructions to the peculiar need of his hearers. The age need special instructions, and so do the young. Paul tells Titus to teach older men to be sober, reverent, temperate, trusting, loving, and patient. Older women to be humble, teach good things, refrain from slander, and be moderate in wine consumption. Younger women to be discreet, prioritize, and love their family. Younger men should be taught to be sober, to do good, and maintain sound doctrine. Servants to be meek and respectful of their masters, and all believers were called to be respectful and submissive to governing authorities. You see, the people of Crete were known for being lying, self-indulgent, and sexually promiscuous people. So much so that to be Cretzo or a Cretian was synonymous with being a liar. On top of all that, their men were said to be violent, and their women were called the New Roman Woman. What does that mean? These women were so emancipated that they exploited their freedoms and gave in to their worldly appetites at the expense of their marriage and their family. Let's be clear. This letter was written to a particular set of churches in a particular place at a particular time in human and church history. Therefore, Paul was addressing the unique needs and challenges of those specific believers. He was calling out the things that they needed to change to operate in decency and order. Being a follower of Jesus means that we should be progressively transforming into the image and likeness of the one we claim to follow, the one we call Lord, the one whom we are a disciple. The process, that process is called sanctification. This charge was not unique to the Cretans, and it still calls out to us today. My sisters and brothers, giving our lives to Christ is not the end, but simply the beginning. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." If we love Jesus, we will do what he says and try to become more like Jesus, the one whom we follow. After we are saved, with each passing season, year, and day, we should be looking like, acting like, thinking like, and even emoting like Jesus. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Unfortunately, the Cretan church believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, but their lives weren't being transformed nor their minds renewed. Ray of Hope, if this letter was written to Pastor Hill about us, what would we need to work on? What would we need to shift for us to look more like Christ and less like Decatur, Atlanta, Conyers, Tucker, Covington, Mableton, and these ununited states of America? What areas would our golden rays need to surrender to God? What would fuse need to be corrected about? What would be a growth area for AYE? How would pastor be told to push our middle-aged adults to look more like Jesus? The key to me in this text was in the why. Paul wasn't just telling Titus to teach the people of Crete sound doctrine for their own purposes. Paul wanted them to live the gospel they said they believed and to practice what was being preached for evangelical purposes. He didn't want their lives that looked more like the world than the God they followed to be a turnoff to unbelievers. He didn't want the church to be criticized or condemned. A Christian citizen should be an influence for good in the community in every way, demonstrating the loveliness of Christ to all through courteous, gracious, consistent, loving, and faithful behavior. We should make the gospel look beautiful and attractive. No one should be able to say to you, you are a hypocrite, or your Christianity is not worth much. My sisters and brothers, our lives as professing Christians are not neutral in their effect. Either we attract or we repel. Either we lead people to think better of God's truth or we make them think worse of it. There are no worse enemies of the gospel than inconsistent friends and believers. On this day and every day, let us faithfully submit to the process of sanctification, of intentionally becoming more like Christ, so that we may be directional signs pointing people directly to Jesus. Let us pray. God, in your mercy, God, in your grace, make us like Jesus. Make us look like him, walk like him, talk like him. Let us be so much like Jesus that people stop us and say, you must be a disciple of Christ. Let them say, you are a Christian. I could tell the moment you walked in the room because your light is shining. Help us to love as Jesus loves, unselfishly, indiscriminately, with no strings attached. Help us to be patient and kind. Lord, you know that some of us, our fuses are way too short. Help us to be long-suffering with others as you are with us. Help us not to envy or boast. Help us to honor others and not dishonor you by dishonoring them. Lord, help us not to be self-seeking or easily angered. God, some of us run hot. Cool us off, God. God, keep us from delighting in evil, but instead rejoicing with the truth. Lord, we want to love like Jesus, for this love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. For it is by this kind of love that the world will know that we are your disciples. Help us commit and recommit to being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. God, keep us from losing our saltiness. We want to be good for something, God. We want to be good evangelists. We want to be good witnesses. We want to be good disciples. God, help us to be good directional signs pointing people to you. May our lives declare that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. On this day and every day, may we make you look good, God. For you indeed are good. We've seen it for ourselves. We experienced your goodness and your loving kindness, which is better than life. We experienced your grace and your mercy, which saved us and keeps on delivering us, sustaining us, forgiving us, guiding us, providing for us, and making a way over, out, and through. God, help us not to be a barrier for others coming to you, knowing you, being saved by you, loving you, and living for you. Move our flesh out of the way. Move our isms out of the way. Move the taste of sin from our lips. Continue to sanctify us on this day and every day by your word, in worship, in study, in prayer, in walking and talking with you each and every day. Make us, God. Renew us, God. Because you are our God, we know that we can cast every care and concern upon you because you care for us. So we do that right now in the name of Jesus. We bring you our fears. We bring you our questions. We bring you our insecurities. We bring you our doubts. We bring you our needs. We bring you our aches, our pains, and our hurts, God. We bring you our seeking and our longing. We bring you our hopes and our dreams. We bring you our grief, our mourning, our heartache, and our heartbreak. We bring you our bills, due, overdue, past due, and coming due. We bring you our debts. We bring you you our plans. God, we bring to you our parents and our grandparents, our siblings, our cousins, our baby mamas and baby daddies. We bring you our children, our godchildren and our grandchildren. We bring you our nieces and our nephews, Lord. We bring you our friends and even our enemies. God, we bring our cities, our states, and this country to you. We bring you this senatorial election and every unsettled election. We bring you our past, our present, and our future. We bring you our vision to be a city of hope where people will impact this present world into the kingdom of God, because we know you are well able to handle this and everything exceedingly, abundantly, more and above all we can ask or imagine. Do you, God, be who you are. Be the promise keeper that you are. Glorify yourself in and through us, and we'll be careful to give your name all praise, honor, and glory. And after you've done it, we'll testify that you alone did it. In the name that is above every name, and that name is Jesus, let all God's people say, amen. My brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us for prayer this morning. Come on back to worship Sunday at 10 a.m. We meet in the sanctuary right here in Decatur, where it's greater, but you can meet us on Facebook, YouTube, and our website. Then come back next Wednesday morning for a time of prayer. Go in peace and love. God bless you.